The Quran was revealed by Allah as a divine guidance for all mankind, not only for the Arab or the Muslim. So it is very wrong if the Pakistani Muslim, the Somalian Muslim, the Indian Muslim, the Arab Muslim say, Quran is only for us. You are not yet Muslim, don't touch the Quran. You are not clean. No. Don't read the Quran. We are Mr. Clean. No. Who said that Quran is for you? Quran is for everybody. Allah said, Hudan linnas. Now, the message of Islam is very clear. Because Islam is for all. Number one, Allah said, O Muhammad, wa ma arsalnaka illa rahmatan lil alamin. O Muhammad, we do not send you except to bring mercy to the worlds, to the universe.
Now let's start with Sheikh Hussaini, who's going to deliver his lecture, Islam in a Modern Society, Conflict or Harmony. Sheikh Hussaini, could you please come to the stage, inshallah?
بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم إن الحمد لله نحمده ونستعينه ونستغفره ونعوذ بالله من شرور أنفسنا ومن سيئات أعمالنا من يهده الله فلا مضل له ومن يضلل فلا هادي له أشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له وأشهد أن محمدا عبده ورسوله وقال الله تعالى في القرآن الكريم بعد أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم يا أيها الذين آمنوا اتقوا الله وقولوا قولا سديدا يصلح لكم أعمالكم يغفر لكم ذنوبكم ومن يطع الله ورسوله فقد فاز فوزا عظيما وقال الله أيضا يا أيها الذين آمنوا اتقوا الله حق تقاته ولا تموتن إلا وأنتم مسلمون واذكروا نعمة الله عليكم إذ كنتم أعداء فألف بين قلوبكم فأصبحتم بنعمته إخوانا أما بعد فإن أصدق الحديث كتاب الله وخير الحديث حديث محمد صلى الله عليه وآله وصحبه وسلم وشر الأمور محدثاتها وكل محدثة بدعة وكل بدعة ضلالة وكل ضلالة في النار السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته Alhamdulillah, all praise due to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for all the ni'mah that Allah have given us as His creation, the last creation of Allah. As insan, whether you are Muslim or not yet Muslim, there's only one God who created all of us, and He is Allah. May the blessing and the mercy of Allah be upon all His messengers and prophets, from Adam to Noah, to Abraham, to Isaac, to Ismail, to Moses, to Jesus, and to the last messenger of Allah to man, all mankind, Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sahbihi wa sallam. And we keep on asking Allah to guide us. Even we are guided now, without fail, every day the Muslim ask Allah, ihdina siratal mustaqim. Oh Allah, guide us all to the straight path. Even we are in the straight path, but we still keep on asking Allah to guide us. Not only guide you or guide me, but guide us all. Ihdina siratal mustaqim. To remind the Muslim that it is our duty to pray for everybody. Even you are praying alone, brothers and sisters. But Islam is here not for you only, but for everyone. And that's why we said, we don't say, Ihdini ila siratul mustaqim. Even you are praying alone. If you recite Ihdini, will you think your prayer will be accepted, brothers? No. No? It's wrong. How can you change the word of Allah? Even you are praying alone, but Allah wants you to say, Ihdina siratul mustaqim. Oh Allah, guide us all to the straight path. Fellow brothers and sisters, we are here because Allah wants us to be here. We are here because Allah said so. IslamNet can organize. We can come all the way from Malaysia, from UK, from other parts of the country. But if Allah said you will not be here, you won't be here today. But because Allah said you will be here. And that's why we are all here today, Alhamdulillah. Now the message of Islam is very clear. Because Islam is for all. Number one, Allah said, O Muhammad, wa ma arsalnaka illa rahmatan lil alamin. O Muhammad, we do not send you except to bring mercy to the worlds, to the universe. Now the teaching of Islam is not here to teach you just how to pray to Allah, how to worship Allah. No. It's more than that. We are talking about Islam in the modern society. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, when He revealed this Quran, Allah said, شَهْرُ رَمَضَانَ الَّذِي أُنزِلَ فِيهِ الْقُرْآنِ هُدًى لِلنَّاسِ وَبَيِّنَةٍ مِنَ الْهُدَى وَالْفُرْقَانِ. In the blessed month of Ramadan, we reveal the Quran. As a what, brothers? The Quran was revealed by Allah as a what? As a what? Huda. Huda for who? Huda for who? Huda linnas. The Quran was revealed by Allah as a divine guidance for all mankind. Not only for the Arab or the Muslim. So it is very wrong if the Pakistani Muslim, the Somalian Muslim, the Indian Muslim, the Arab Muslim say, Quran is only for us. You are not yet Muslim, don't touch the Quran. You are not clean. No, no, no. Don't read the Quran. We are Mr. Clean. No. Who said that Quran is for you? Quran is for everybody. Allah said, Huda linnas. ليس هدى للعرب ليس هدى للمسلم فقط وهدى للناس وبينات من الهدى والفرقان. And Quran is here to explain everything to us, what to do, what not to do, how to behave yourself, how to be a good citizen, how to be a successful man, how to be a successful businessman, how to be a successful husband, how to be a successful father, how to be a successful leader. This is what Quran is about. Not just a book to teach us how to make salat, how to fast in the month of Ramadan, how to perform Hajj. There is part of the Quran. But majority of the verses in the Quran is here to guide all of us to live like a human, to act like a human, to behave like a human, to think like a human. Because sometimes there are humans who act like a shaitan. There are humans who act like God. He decides everything. What he says is right, it must be right, even if it's wrong. Like the husband always said to their wife, the boss is always right. I am the boss. Do you agree with this? No. Nobody can say, I am Mr. Right. We are all human. And the Prophet said, yeah, every human commits sin. Yeah. The Prophet said, كُلُّ إِبْنَ عَدَمْ قَتَّعْنُ خَيْرْ قَتَّعِينَ تَوَّابُونَ. Every children of Adam, they commit sins. And the best among the sinners are those who repent, who change. So nobody said, I'm Mr. Clean, I'm an angel, I have no sin now. No, nobody can say that. Except Prophet, they are ma'sum. They are guided by Allah. They don't follow their desire, we follow our desire. Now, the first thing I'd like to share with all the brothers and sisters about how Islam successfully have developed a civilized nation to bring this world to a better world, to become all of us, even you are different in race and tribe, but we can live together like one big family. Allah said, "Wazkuru ni'matullah alaykum." Remember the ni'mah, the blessing of Allah that He has given us. "Iz kuntum a'da'an," once upon a time, you live like enemy, you hate each other, you fight with each other because of race, because you are from different tribes. You fight against each other because of your color, because of your names. I am Quraysh, I am that kind of tribe. You are this tribe, no? I am the Khawarij. Yeah. I am the Ghattafan. Fight with each other. Just for a small matter, you become enemy, you go against each other. But I, Allah, فَأَلَّفَ بَيْنَ قُلُوبِكُمْ, I united all your heart with La ilaha illallah, Muhammadur Rasulullah. And Allah said again, "Ya ayyuhan nas, inna khalaqnakum min zakarin wa untha, waja'alnakum shu'uban wa qabaila lita'arafu, inna akramakum 'indallah atqakum, inna Allaha 'alimun khabir." O mankind, again, brothers and sisters, you see what Allah is telling us. In this Quran, Allah normally said, "Ya ayyuhan nas, ya ayyuhan nas, O mankind, O people." Not all Arabs, no all Muslim, all mankind. To show us that this book is for everybody and Allah is the God for every one of us. The only that difference that we are facing today, there are people who know who is Allah, he accept him and become a believer. There are people who do not know who is Allah, they reject him. Not said, they reject him with knowledge, they reject Allah out of ignorance. And this is the duty of us as Muslims, to bring back Allah to all of them, to tell them Allah is for you and for me. This is very important. And Allah said, "O mankind, indeed we are the one who created all of you from one male and one female, from Adam and Eve, from one father and one mother." And it was confirmed by the khutbah of our Prophet ﷺ in the Khutbatul Wida. He was addressing all the Muslims. He didn't say, "Ayyuhal Arab, Ayyuhal Hujjaz." He still said, "Ayyuhal Nas," in Arafah, to remind his followers, his ummah, that this religion, Islam, is for everybody. "Ayyuhal Nas, Inna Rabbakum Wahid," your God is only one. "Wa inna abakum wahid," and all of you came from one father. "Kullukum min Adam wa Adam min turab," and all of us are from Adam, and Adam is from the earth. "Laysa al-fatlun al-arabiyyin al-arabiyyin al-a'jamin illa bi-taqwa." The Arab is not superior than the non-Arab except taqwa. Neither the white upon the black except taqwa. Do we agree with this message, brother? As Muslim, do you agree with this message? This is not my word. This is the word of our beloved Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And Allah has said that it is He, Allah, who decided to make us into tribes and nations. Shu'uban, nation and tribes. That's why you have different color in this hall. Your brother Hosseini is also different from you. You know? Do you think you will call me to talk about Islam to you if my name is Yiron Yen? No. What is this guy? What is IslamNet doing? Calling a Buddhist guy and talk to us about our Islam? It's crazy. That was before I became a Muslim, I was a Buddhist. So my name is Yiron Yen. Then I make a first hijrah to Christianity. So I have a Christian name. Do you think they will invite me if I am Johnny Yi? That's my name. My Christian name, Johnny Yi. I don't think you like to listen about Islam from Mr. Johnny Yi. Maybe the Christian group will call me, not the Muslim. Alhamdulillah, I got the hidayah from Allah and I become Hussein Yi. Alhamdulillah. And that's why I'm here in front of you. It's not because of Yi, it's because of Hussein. Make me a brother to all of you. I am no more a stranger. When I become a Muslim, every Muslim in the world is my family. Alhamdulillah. فَأَصْبَحْتُمْ بِنِعْمَةِ إِخْوَانَ With the ni'mah of Islam, we become a big family. And there is a teaching of Islam. Treat every one of us like a big family. Even we are different in color, different in race and tribe, but we all have the same belief, worship one God, follow one messenger, Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and we have one deen, one way of life. What is modern? What is civilization? You know, civilization is just the opposite of jahiliyyah. Before civilization, everybody just think of themselves. And you see the beauty of this deen. When come to dunya, when you come to ibadah mahdha, like prayer, fasting, zikr, umrah, hajj, this is ibadah mahdha. Ibadah mahdha, no one can modify. Nobody can change the form of this ibadah. Because it's fixed by Allah. Al-yawma akmaltu lakum dinakum. Allah said, today I have perfected this deen for all of you. Nobody can interfere, make some changes in the context of ibadah mahdha. No more. It's fixed by Allah. Performing zuhur, 4 rakat. Wherever you go, it's 4 rakat. You go to India, you go to China, you go to Africa. How many rakat is zuhur prayer, brother? 4. Can you say, no, I think I increase 1 more rakat, 5. Because I want to be closer to God. So I make 5 rakat zuhur. Do you think people will follow you? No. Even your intention is good. You have good intention, you want to plus 1 more extra rakat. But this ibadah is fixed. Nobody has the right to interfere. When you interfere, it's no more ibadah. Al-mahdha. But when you come to dunya, muamalat, munakahat, jinayat, this is to show you how Islam make this world so civilized. Islam is here to guide us, to teach us how to live together with fellow mankind. Muamalat is your responsibility towards the community, the society that you're living in. And of course, they are Muslim, they are not yet Muslim. They are good and bad and ugly, everywhere you go. You never find all angel, Mr. Right, no. There must be some right and some wrong. There is life, there is reality. Islam is here to teach you the truth of this life. Nothing that Islam never covered in Islam. And Islam here is to teach you to be careful about your rights and other people's rights. Talking about food, we live in this world, we need to eat to survive. Do we eat, brothers? Have you had your lunch already? Yes? I didn't have my lunch yet. Yeah. But anyhow, we have to eat. We everybody need to eat, and you see what Allah said: Ya ayuhan nas, kulu mimma fil ardi halalan tayyiba. Oh human, eat, eat. He now said, oh you who believe, don't eat. Oh you don't be, oh you don't who do not believe, you eat. No. He said, oh mankind, eat. Eat what is halal and good. Because we want to stay, to keep ourselves healthy and strong. We do not want to eat something that destroys ourselves. True or not, brother? You are not supposed to eat anything that will bring harm to you. Anything that will cause harm to you is haram. That's why Allah called everybody eat what is good and what is halal. This is life. Not only for the Muslim, you eat halal food. No, Allah said, Ya ayuhan nas, kulu mimma fil ardi halalan tayyiba. Oh mankind, eat what is halal that Allah has provided for all of us. Because we need to keep ourselves healthy. And when come to dunya, you see what the Prophet said? Allahu Akbar. People may say, is it a sunnah to use all this heavy machinery? For farming, example. Is it a sunnah? In the time of the Prophet, you don't have all this machine. Do you have all this bulldozer and all other kind of machine to harvest the field? Do you have that before? What do you use before? What do we use to harvest our field? What do we use? Cow. Buffalo. Yeah, all animals. But now, do you still use cow and buffalo? No. You're using what? What are we using today? Tractors. But you see the beauty of this religion. The Prophet said, Antum a'lamu bi umri dunya. When come to dunya, I don't interfere. You know about your dunya more than me. This is what the Prophet said. To show us that Islam is not against any civilization. Islam is not a religion that will bring you back to the desert life. No. Islam is not here saying, everybody who wants to go to Hajj, the first thing that you must learn to ride camel. Then you have problem. Then before Hajj, anybody who register for Hajj, the first thing you must learn about Hajj is not the shurut of Hajj, the condition, the do and don't, but how to ride a camel. But no, you just can come to Mecca. Yeah, from which kind of transportation you wish, it's up to you. Whether through the air, you submarine, it's up to you. As long as you reach Mecca. Alhamdulillah. We don't have submarine to go to Mecca yet. We have Jeddah port. Man, you use air, by land, train maybe, inshallah. Dunya, the Prophet do not want to interfere. Antum a'lamu bi umri dunyakum. Only the Prophet remind us with the guidance of the Quran that was given by Allah. In dunya, you must be amanah. Don't lie. Don't cheat. Don't get involved in any business that is haram. You want to do business? Do. Make sure your business is clear cut. What is halal is halal. What is haram It's a guidance. You want to marry? Marry. But a man only can marry with what? With who? Woman. Of course, you only get married with woman. But how about I don't love woman? I love men. What can you do? Islam is a very civilized religion. If you consider yourself a modern guy, a civilized person, I don't think it's right. I don't think it's right. We entertain. This thing happened in the time of Prophet Lut. Yeah. What happened to them? Did Allah accept them? Did Allah say, no problem, okay? No. Allah said, I created zakar wa untha, not khuntha. Khuntha, Allah never created. But you see what happened to the society, so-called modern society, civilized country. They are accepting all this. They are changing the law of God. They are playing God. And see what is happening to the world today. We suffer. It's because we go against God's rule. Because we make haram halal. We are not going to be more civilized. We are going backward. We become like the people of Lut. This is not modern. We are going back to the Jahiliyyah. It's just like before Islam, the woman, how do they dress, sisters? Do you know how they dress? The woman is just like is an object for the man. The men have no respect to the woman. That's why they have no rights. If a woman is divorced by the man, no man will get married with that woman anymore. It's better for her to die. Because she's a useless woman. That's why the man leave her. If the woman become a widow because the husband passed away, all the people will curse the woman. Say, it's because of you, your husband died first. So both way you are gone. Both way you are condemned. The man always blame you. You are the cause of the disaster. This is what before Islam. The Jahiliyyah system is like that. Woman is an object to be used by the man. After they use you, they don't need you, they just chuck you aside. They go for another thing. This is what happened. Do you think you have right? You have no right, sisters, before Islam. In the time of Jahiliyyah, women have no right. It's better for them to die. But Islam, a civilized religion, came and saved all of us and put the woman in a level that they never even dreamed about. To the level that the man also got to respect and honor them. Protect them. To the extent that Allah said, "Hunna libasul lakum wa antum libasul lahunna." The woman and man relationship now, what Islam have brought to us is that you are like a garment to each other. Why do Allah use garment? Why do Allah use this term libas? Why do Allah use this? Because libas is something that is close to your body. The thing that is closest to your body is what? Is what, brothers? Is your clothes, your libas. What do libas do to us? What do libas do to you, sister? To cover your body, to protect you from heat, from cold, from any defect. That is the function of a libas, to cover yourself up, to protect you. And that is the function of man and woman in Islam. Not to expose your weaknesses, your defect to the public, but here to protect you. This is how civilized, how modern Islam is. Come and teach you to be like a human, act like a human, eat like a human, live like a human, talk like a human, behave like a human. إِنَّمَا بُعِسْتُ لِأُتَمِّمَ مَقَارِمُ الْأَخْلَاقِ. And the Prophet said, I was sent to bring all of you to have a good conduct, to have good akhlaq. Because the best thing in this world is good akhlaq. And good akhlaq have the heaviest scale mizan in akhirah. And what I like to share with all the brothers and sisters today, please remember, do Islam bring any conflict to this modern world? No. Islam is here to unite every one of us. Islam is here to spread the word of peace to everybody. Whether you are Muslim or not yet Muslim, you must spread peace to each other. And that's why you see only Muslims use this word. When they meet fellow Muslim, Assalamu alaikum. Do you agree with that, brother? There's the best greeting. Peace be upon you. We are not here to create any hatred. We are not here to create any war with anybody, but we are here to bring peace. But now, a lot of people say that the Muslim are what? The Muslim are terrorists. Now, brothers, please be honest with me and the sisters. How many not yet Muslim who are in this hall today? Can you raise up your hand? People who are not yet Muslim, please. One. Not yet Muslim. Two. Three. Four. Alhamdulillah. How do you feel sitting among the terrorists? You feel safe? Do you feel safe? We all know we are no terrorists. But the media is telling us that Muslims are terrorists. You know why they always attack the Muslims? Do you know why, brothers and sisters? I was thinking all the time when people attack Muslims, why am I a terrorist? I look at myself in the mirror, do I look like a terrorist? Did I terrorize anybody I go? Wherever I go, did I terrorize anybody? Or because my beard become a terrorist? I was trying to understand, are we terrorists? No. I always spend time with my family who are not yet Muslim, and they love my present. They always love my present with them. Anytime they know that I'm coming back to my family, my sisters, my brother, oh, they are very happy. You know how happy they are? I'll tell you how happy they are. When they know that I'm coming, they change everything. When they know that I'm coming back, I'm going to visit them, I'm going to come back to be with the family in the gathering, family reunion, they make sure that all food is halal. That's how happy they are. No. They are not going to make haram food anymore. No more haram thing. Everything halal. If I say, I'm coming, they make sure that they will prepare halal food or they will bring me to a halal restaurant. Because they love my present. It's not that if I say, I'm coming back, it's a problem today. We cannot eat haram thing anymore. No, they love to change the environment. But do you know why the people always blame Muslim as terrorists? Because this is the only nation, the only people on earth today who promote peace. Assalamu alaikum, assalamu alaikum, assalamu alaikum. And do you know who is the terrorist? Who is the real terrorist? Do you know, sister? At the end of the talk, inshallah, Q&A will give you the answer. Now, what I'm going to share with you is to understand this beautiful deen of Islam. Who Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala have given us this beautiful deen, al-yawma akmaltu lakum deenakum. I myself, Allah said, perfected this deen for you. What is the deen, brother and sister? What is the difference of religion and deen? Do you know the difference? وَأَتْمَمْتُ عَلَيْكُمْ نِعْمَاتِ And I have completed my favor to all of you. وَرَضِيتُ لَكُمُ الْإِسْلَامُ دِينًا And I choose Islam as a deen for all of you. What is the difference between religion and deen? Do you understand that question, brother? Normally, when you say Islam, that means you have the freedom to pray, to fast in Ramadan, to go to Mecca to perform Hajj, You have the freedom to choose to be a Muslim or not a Muslim. That is what Islam always. People understand Islam. Islam is ritual, ritual. But deen is a complete way of life. And this is something that majority of the people do not give the freedom of deen to the Muslim. They give you the freedom of Islam, but not the freedom of deen. When your freedom of deen means you have the right to dress like a Muslim. You have the right to do the Islamic business. That means you have the right not to get involved in riba. You have the right to come up with Islamic banking, Islamic insurance. You have all the right, Islamic education. There is deen. That means people must give you the right to exercise your religion as a way of life. To behave like a Muslim, dress like a Muslim, eat what Islam allows you to eat, and do halal business, and educate your children in the Islamic way of tarbiyah. There is the deen in Islam. And married in the Islamic way, divorce in the Islamic way. And if somebody died, the inheritance, the fara'id must be in Islamic way. You understand that, brother? There is the deen. Because deen is not just praying, fasting, no. Because Islam is the complete way of life. You don't have to look to the east or the west. You just look into the Quran. And the Quran is in the house of every Muslim. Allahu Akbar. The Quran is in the house of every Muslim. When you open the Quran, Allahu Akbar, I share with you one simple guidance, brothers and sisters. When you open the Quran, the first chapter is surah. What surah is that? What is surah? Surah Al-Fatiha. What is the meaning of Fatiha? The opening chapter. That's why when you read the Quran, you must open your mind. You must read the Quran with an open heart, an open eye, open ear. Because Quran wants you to think, not just to read, but you must think what Allah says in the Quran. Not just to get the blessing of the recitation of the Quran. We know every word, every letter you have reward, Allah gives you reward. Yeah? لِكُلِّ حَرْفْ أَشْرُ أَمْثَالِهَا. Because Allah said, لِكُلِّ حَسَنَا Asru amthaliha. Every good thing that you do, you got 10 reward from Allah. But the Quran is not a book just for you to read, but for you to open your mind, your heart to understand. But we have been reading without understanding for years and generations. Do you agree with me, brother? We all have been reading the Quran from young, and we have khatam the Quran, completed the recitation. After that, we don't open the Quran anymore. Unless somebody died. When someone died, you open the Quran again. Like the Quran is not for the living, for the dead. No. And the only surah that you recite normally, the traditional Muslim, when he opened the Quran, what surah do they recite? What surah, brothers? What surah? Yasin. It's like the Quran have no other surah except Yasin. What is happening to this ummah? This is called traditional Muslim who don't understand what is the Quran. The Quran is for you to reflect. And the opening after the chapter, what did Allah say? Alhamdulillahi Rabbil Alameen. To tell us, the first thing that you must remember, the first thing that you must think when you open your eye, if you're asleep last night, when you open the eye, what do you say? What do you say, brother? Alhamdulillah. What do you say, sister? At least, Alhamdulillah. Of course, the dua the Prophet have taught us, Alhamdulillahillazi ahyana ba'dama amatana wa ilayhin nushur. All praise due to Allah. Why? He's the one who gave me life after my death. And to Allah, all of us will return. The first ayah of the Quran and Surah Al-Fatiha is Alhamdulillah. Remind us to be thankful to Allah. We must be thankful to Allah, shukr to Allah. Who is Allah? Rabbul Alameen. Allah is not Rabbul Arab. No. Rabbul Muslimin. No. Rabbul Alameen. Allah is the creator, the sustainer of the worlds, of the Alameen. And who is Allah? Ar-Rahman, Ar-Rahim. Allah is the Lord of the worlds, and He have Ar-Rahman, Ar-Rahim, the most merciful, the most beneficial. He is here to forgive all our sins. If we have committed all the sin in our life, like what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, فَمَنْ تَابَ وَآمَنَ وَعَمِلَ آمَلًا صَالِحًا فَأُولَٰئِكَ يُبَدِّلُ اللَّهُ سَيِّئَاتِهِمْ حَسَنًا وَكَانَ اللَّهُ غَفُورٌ رَحِيمًا. Whoever repent to Allah after he commit all the sins that that human have committed on this planet, not from small to the biggest sin, but if you make tawbah, Allah said, فَمَنْ تَابَ وَآمَنَ, and renew your iman, renew your faith. وَعَمِلَ عَمَلًا صَالِحًا, and you engage yourself in all the righteous deeds. فَأُولَٰئِكَ يُبَدِّلُ اللَّهُ سَيِّئَاتِهِمْ حَسَنًا. All the bad deeds that you have done for 40 years, 50 years, Allah is going to transfer it into good deeds. Not only He forgive you, brother or sister, He will transfer your bad deed into good deeds. Allahu Akbar. To show us who are Ar-Rahman, Ar-Rahim. So we cannot give up hope, because Allah is always merciful, loving, and He always accept the repentance of His people or His servant. Now this is to show us Ar-Rahman Ar-Rahim, Maliki Yawmiddin. Who is Allah? He is the Malik, the owner. Owner of what? Maliki Yawmiddin. Remember, there will come a day there's no night. That's called Yawm al-Qiyamah. And we know what is Yawm al-Qiyamah, brother? What is Yawm? Why do Allah call this Yawm, Yawm al-Qiyamah? Do you understand this, sister? Why did Allah call this day the day of Qiyamah? Why? Why, brother? Oh, Allah. Do you want to know what is Qiyamah, brothers? Yeah? Do you want to know what is Qiyamah, sisters? Can we all stand up for a while? Just a second. Just stand up. Please stand up. Alhamdulillah. Please stand up for the sake of Allah. Now this is Qiyamah. In the day of judgment, all of us will be standing up. None of us will be given a chair. There's no chair. From the Prophet, from Adam to the last human who live on this planet, all will stand up. And do you know how long you're going to stand? How long have you trained to stand up like this? 1 hour? 10 hours? None of us have trained ourselves to stand more than 10 hours. Even the army, the soldier, they stand maybe 8 hours, then they change shift. But do you know how long we are going to stand like this, brother and sister? 50,000 years. Kamsina al-sana. 50,000 years we are going to stand up like this. 50,000 years, according to our calculation, is just yawm in akhirah, one day. Jazakallah, you can sit now, right? Alhamdulillah, now you understand why Allah used the word qiyamah. Everybody will stand up. Whether you are a king, whether you are a slave, all of us have to stand up, become the servant of Allah. He, Allah said, Maliki Yawmiddin. He is the owner of that day. Everybody will got to see Him. Whether you are prepared or not, you have to see Him. Because we came from Allah and to Allah we return. This is Surah Al-Fatiha. And then Iyyaka na'budu wa Iyyaka nasta'in. Oh Allah, only to you. Only to you. Sister, remember this word. Only to you. How do you feel if your husband said, you are my only wife? You understand that message? If your husband said, you are my only wife, you understand that message very clear? There's no number two anymore. How secure you feel? Do you feel secure if the husband said, you are my only wife? Only me. Well, of course, when you say you're only, that means no sharing anymore. So Allah said, remember, you only worship Allah. To you, we worship. Not only I worship, even you are worshiping Allah alone, you then will say, Iyaka asta'in, wa iyaka a'budu wa iyaka asta'in. Do you say that? But you are praying alone, why must you represent other people? You are praying Allah, to Allah alone. So you say, Iyaka a'budu wa iyaka asta'in. If you become an imam, do you think people will say amin? Do you think the ma'mun will say amin? No. The ma'mun will correct you on the spot. Iyaka na'budu. And then you say, Iyaka asta'budu again. No, people are not going to pray behind you anymore. Because you are very selfish, you don't think of others. To you, only we worship. And only to you, Allah, we ask for help. Anything to do with the spiritual thing, you only ask Allah directly. Don't go through anyone. Don't go through any medium. This is what Islam have changed the world. To free every one of us from a slave of human, a slave of thing to the slave of Allah. Before we are slave to human, when you want to ask God, you got to go to another human. Why? Why must you go to another human? When you want to ask God, you got to go to an image, a stone, a tree. Why must you do that? You are better than the stone. You are better than the trees. But when you ask God for something, you still go back to all these things. This is not civilization. This is jahiliyyah. And Islam is here to free you, become a free man, and worship Allah, and ask Allah. If you need something, ask Allah directly. Don't go to the maqbara, don't go to the grave. They need your help, they can't help you. You understand that, brother? Now I just give you some example. There are a lot of Muslims go to the grave today, and ask, oh Sheikh, oh Wali, na'uz billah. Now, if this doctor, a close friend of you, he's a heart specialist. Anything to the heart, you go to him, he'll give you the right medication. Now, when he died, do you still go and ask him for help? When you have problem, you go to his grave, oh doctor, you remember me? I was your patient before? Please, no, I still feel pain in my heart. Can you give me some advice? Do you think he can help you, brother? No. But he know you, you're his patient. He was his patient for years. Do you think he can help you? He can't help you anymore. Do you think that dead can help you? No, only Allah, Hayyun Qayyum, will help you. So you ask Allah for help. And you know what we ask for Allah, brother and sister? We don't ask for money. Every Muslim in the world, when they ask Allah, the first thing they ask is, Ihdinas Sirat. This is more better than anything else. The right way is better than dollars and cents. This is the thing that we ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Fellow brothers and sisters, and in Al-Baqarah after Fatiha, Allah explained to us about this book of Allah. And later on, Allah talk about three group of people. The mu'min, the kafir, and the munafiq. Do you agree with me what is stated in the Quran? After ذَلِكَ الْكِتَابِ لَا رَيْبَ فِيهِ هُدًى لِلْمُتَّقِينَ. Then Allah talk about the believers. Allah is telling us, living in this world, brother and sister, you will have three kind of people. One, the believers. One, the non-believers. And one, the hypocrite. One group is the believer. These people, you can trust them. This is your companion. This is your true friend, dunya until akhirah. And you have second group who disbelieve. So you know who are the disbelievers. Lakum dinukum waliyadin. Then the third group is the munafiqin. And this group is the most dangerous group. This is the group which Allah and the Prophet describe as Zuru Wajahain. The people who have two faces. They come to you, yes, I'm like you. Behind you, they say, no, I'm like you. You know, we have a lot of people like this today. Now, if you know who is a munafiq, who is a disbeliever, and who is a believer, do you think you will have a very safe environment? Do you know who is your friend, who is your enemy? Can you differentiate that? Can you differentiate that, brother? Yes, you can differentiate. You can differentiate. If Allah said, this is the sign of the munafiq, if anybody have that sign, do you have the right to say that he's a munafiq? Yes. Allah never lied to us. Whatever Allah said is true, nothing but the truth. If he said, whoever lie when he speak, he is a sign of munafiq. Whoever promise and he break his promise, there's a sign of munafiq. Now, if anybody have that sign, then you can call him a munafiq. A believer, he have his sign. A disbeliever also have their signs. Alama. So now you know that this is a believer, you can trust it. Non-believer, you know, okay, we are friends, just friends. Munafiq, don't trust them. Don't trust any munafiq, they will kill you. They will destroy you. So fellow brothers and sisters, Islam is here to guide us. Islam is here to make us followers of knowledge, not blind followers. Islam is here to make us people become muttabi', not muqallid. Majority of the people today, they become blind followers. They just follow their tradition without knowing why they do this. But Islam here to free us to be a follower with knowledge. Ittiba is people who follow with knowledge. So knowledge will give us light. Knowledge will free us from jahiliyyah. And knowledge will bring this world to civilization. Without knowledge, we all will become ignorant, jahiliya. And that's why Allah said, هَلْ يَسْتَوِي أَلَّذِينَ يَعْلَمُونَ وَالَّذِينَ لَا يَعْلَمُونَ. Is this what Allah said to us? Allah is asking us, do you think the people of knowledge and the people who have no knowledge is the same? No. Because of knowledge, we know where we stand. Because of the right knowledge, we know who is the true God. It's because of the right knowledge. So may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala guide us all, brothers and sisters. And may Allah make us understand His deen, that Islam is not outdated religion, but it's a religion that brings this world to civilization. And a religion that promotes peace, that unite all the nation and tribes to live together as one big family. The best among you is not because of your color, your name, it's because of taqwa. It's because of your faith in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and your belief and piety towards Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So may Allah strengthen our iman and open our heart so that we will live together like a family. And those who are not yet Muslim, brothers and sisters who are Muslim, it is your duty to show them how loving, how caring the Muslim is, and how good Islam is. And Islam is for them, not only for you. So we believe that what people always remind us, if people say the Muslim, they are bad people, in a way, I don't blame them, in a way. Because sometimes you come across a lot of Muslims who are not good Muslims. Do you agree with me, brother?
Yes.
Yes. I have the experience. I became a Muslim since 1968. Almost how many years? How many years I'm a Muslim now? 42 years. 4 years I suffer. The beginning of the 4 years when I become Muslim, because I have a lot of unpracticing Muslim around me. Show me all the worst example. The worst example. But Allah is kind. He loves me, He protects me. And He guides me. Because I always ask Allah to guide me. Nobody can guide me better than Allah. And alhamdulillah, life starts to change. So if they say Muslim is bad, I will never disagree. But if they say Islam is bad, I will not agree. You must know the difference between Islam and Muslim. It's very important. And you must know the difference between ibadah and adat. What is ibadah? What is tradition? Don't mix up these two things. Because ibadah belong to Allah, adat belong to us. There's a lot of difference. There's a difference, just to show you, there's a difference between man-made law and divine law. The Muslim is being commanded by Allah to follow the divine law, not to follow man-made law. So may Allah guide us, brothers and sisters. I think I've been informed that it's time to move to the second session, the Q&A session. So we ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to make us a practicing Muslim and to make us a good Muslim who will bring Islam back to our neighbor, our family who are not yet Muslim. And for people who are not yet Muslim, please don't delay to become a Muslim. Because death is only at the corner. You can die anytime. Because we do not want you to fail yourself. We do not want you to regret in the hereafter. You may fail yourself here, but make sure that you don't fail in akhirah. So Islam here is here to save our soul for the next life. So may Allah guide us, and may Allah increase our patience and protect all of us from all the fitan that we are going to expose to. Allahumma inna na'awzu bika min azabi jahannam, wa min azabi al-qabri, wa min fitnatil mahya wal-mamat, wa min fitnatil masih dajjal. سبحانك اللهم بحمدك أشهد أن لا إله إلا أنت أستغفرك وأتوب إليك. السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته.
بسم الله الحمد لله والصلاة والسلام على رسول الله. Well, we start to take some questions from the audience, from brothers. You know the rules? Anyone doesn't know the rules? Okay, fine. No one said no, so means everyone knows, yeah? Right. So these are the microphones for the brother, microphone for the brother, microphone for the sisters. You come forward, you put your question, not a lecture, you know, perhaps it's better if it's in English. Otherwise, I won't be able to understand it, but you can say it in Norwegian as well. And just make sure you keep your questions to the topic, okay? And, you know, let's fire away. Should we take, we'll try to get the sisters to give the first question, if there's a sister up there. Or any brothers over there?
The sister is there, the sister. Oh, no.
Sisters over there?
Yes,
waving. Go ahead, sister.
Assalamu alaikum.
Wa alaikum assalam wa rahmatullah wa barakatuh.
Brother, as you said that human beings have to abide by the divine law. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says that you have to follow my commands and after that you have to follow the sunnah. So people with different thoughts, everyone in the society who live together have different thoughts. But only when they strive towards a single goal, only then they can reach towards a goal. So nowadays people have, many people say that you cannot believe the authenticity of hadith. People have introduced new fatwas, everything. And some follow the, for example, some follow Raful Yadain and some don't do Raful Yadain. Some say Taraweeh is not authentic. So can you please explain about these difference of opinion and how to follow the authentic hadith? What is the procedure? Thank you.
Did you get that?
The beginning
it's
part.
Actually not on the topic. I must say, it's not on the topic, really. But if you want to answer it.
Yeah, but the
well, basically the concept of the, you know, the hadith and the way in which they are interpreted and the, and how they are passed forward into this modern day, I believe, is the real issue.
Yeah, to be a quick one, I'll try to give an
quick
answer.
Quick one then, yeah. Bismillah.
Now, firstly, sister, we believe what Allah said, what not what people said. Allah said, "Inna nazzalna zikra wa inna lahu lahafizun." Allah is the one who revealed the Quran. He will protect the authenticity of his book. Number one. So we have no doubts about the Quran. And Allah said, فَإِن تَنَزَقْتُمْ فِي شَيْءٍ فَرُدُّهُ إِلَى اللَّهِ وَرَسُولِهِ. If you dispute in any matter, not only about the ibadah, mu'amalat, munakahat, jinnah, anything, you should refer back to the word of Allah and the saying of the Prophet ﷺ. Now the question from the sister is, now we have problem, a lot of, some group, so-called Muslim is starting to say that we cannot follow the sunnah of the Prophet, the hadith, because we do not know how authentic the hadith is. Number one, if they have doubts because they are ignorant, it is their problem. They must remember what Allah said, فَاسْأَلُوا أَهْلِ الزِّكْرِ إِن كُنْتُمْ لَا تَعْلَمُونَ. Ask people of knowledge if they know not. Of course, if you want to know about which hadith is authentic, then you must refer back to the scholar of hadith. Don't ask just anybody. And the Prophet has said it very clear before he passed away. Man qala alayya ma lam aqul falyatabawwaq maqadun minan nar. Whoever dare to say something that the Prophet didn't say, but he used the name of the Prophet, he lied with the name of the Prophet, that means the Prophet, he is putting himself in hellfire. Now the Prophet is aware that there will come a time people will use his name to say, this is a sunnah, this is a sunnah, but it's not from the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Yeah. So alhamdulillah, from time to time Allah have sent people who will come and protect the saying of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. So inshallah, if you follow the Quran and the hadith, I give a simple example. For majority of the Muslim, they don't have the knowledge of hadith. They can read the Quran, okay? But to be fair to you, just have one set of Sahih Bukhari, another set of Sahih Muslim is sufficient for the public. For normal Muslim, you have the Quran with you, you have the Hadith Bukhari and Hadith Sahih Muslim, it is sufficient for the beginners. But if you want to go further to read, to learn the Hadith, the sign of Hadith, of course you need more time. But inshallah, like what Allah promised that He will protect His deen, Allah will protect His deen. And the confusion is because the Muslim today, they have little knowledge about Hadith, but they like to talk about hadith. May Allah guide them. Amin ya Rabbil Alam. Jazakallah. Okay. Next.
Amin. Inshallah. Okay, so just remember to keep it on the topic Islam in the modern society, conflict or harmony. We've got a brother down here who wants to ask a question.
Thank you. I hope this is relevant to the topic.
Okay.
I think it's,
well, it doesn't matter. We'll let you off, right? Because you're not yet Muslim.
Okay, thank you. Okay. So, I mean, I think it is directly relevant in the sense that for not a Muslim, this is a fundamental question for me. That Allah is described as being both, or altogether omniscient, omnipotent, and ultimately compassionate. And I think this is not just a question for Islam, but for religion in general, is how do we understand both free will and the suffering of the innocents in the light of this? Yeah. Thank you very much.
Fine. Thank you. I think, Sheikh, you got that about free will and suffering in the world, and Allah being omnipotent.
Fellow brothers and sisters, we know that Allah, the Creator, whatever He create, there is a reason. It's not easy for normal people like you and me to understand. The only thing Allah said, if He decide to do something, He just said, kun fayakun, be and it's be. The brother is trying to share with us, how about some people is suffering, somebody was born handicapped, and then somebody was born in the palace, become the royal family, and we become a non-royal family, you know, we become poor, so is that fair? Allah know best. Allah know best. Sometimes Allah make this thing happen with a reason. With a reason. Everything that Allah create, there is a reason. There is a sabab. And only Allah know best. And that's why Allah remind us, the best among you is not whether he's handicapped or not, whether he's rich or poor. He said, the best among you are people who are faithful to me, who are piety to me. Inna akramakum indallahi adqakum. Now again, when you talk about suffering. Now once upon a time I was a Buddhist. Yeah, and Buddhism always remind us about the truth of suffering. And Allah also said, وَلَنَبْلُوَنُّكُمْ بِشَيْءٍ مِنَ الْخَوْفِ وَالْجُوءِ وَالنَّقْصٍ مِنَ الْأَمْوَالِ وَالْأَنْفُسِ وَالثَّمَرَاتِ وَبَشِّرِ الصَّابِرِينَ. This word suffering, sometimes if I compare with somebody who is worse than me, or somebody who is handicapped, I'm okay, alhamdulillah, Allah make me perfect, alhamdulillah, I have all the thing that I need from Allah. But somebody may have no leg, somebody have no hands, somebody look differently. But to me, if I compare him and me, I'm better. But to him, it's not a suffering. To him, he's used to it. He's born in that manner. There's no suffering for only we pity him for that. It's like when we meet the poor, when we go and visit the poor, we thought that they are poor, so we want to help them, we give them things. But they don't need. They are happy with that lifestyle. They are contented with that kind of lifestyle. Because we start to compare we and them. By right, inshallah, everybody where Allah have qadar, if Allah ordained this thing is going to happen, Allah said, لا يكلف الله نفسا إلا وسعها. Allah will never burden anyone except those who are able to accept it. And may Allah make us understand why all this thing is happening. It's just like, if Allah make everybody become doctor, what is going to happen to us? Everybody become a doctor. Who is going to be a patient? So, you heal yourself, you inject yourself, you find your own medicine, you don't have to go to any. If everybody make everybody a fisherman, nobody is going to develop this country. All deal with water. Allah is great. They are poor, they are rich. The poor needs the help from the rich one. And the rich need the help from the poor one. He cannot be rich without the poor. The poor is the one who works for him. You got people who are sick, you got doctor. You got teacher, and you got normal people who are ignorant, so that the people who have knowledge will teach people who are ignorant. If everybody become a lecturer, what is going to happen? What is going to happen to this world? What is going to happen, brother? There's no balance anymore. Allah, Almighty Allah, when He makes something, He have His own wisdom. Everything that He make is for the best of all of us. Only we don't understand, inshallah. With patience, Allah said, you will understand. So inshallah, for the believer, they have no problem. For people who don't believe yet, they may have some problem. But when you believe, you solve your problem, inshallah. Jazakallah khair.
Jazakallah khair. I hope that answers the question there. And do come back to us if you need some more clarification, or you can come and see us later on.
No.
The not yet Muslim brother who answered that question, inshallah. We've got some other questions over here. There's actually quite a nice one here. It's sort of related to the topic regarding is basically dawah or hijrah. Should we're undergoing difficulties here. Should we leave or should we stay?
Should we leave or should we stay
here? Should we leave or stay? Should we make hijrah?
Ah.
Or should we stay here and fight our corner?
Wherever you are, you stay. You don't make another hijrah. Allah wants you to be here until you are not given your right to worship Allah. But you are given the right to worship Allah. You are given the right to organize this gathering. That shows that you have no excuse to run away from here. Allah wants you to be here, brother. You cannot run away. When the Prophet ﷺ was appointed by Allah to be his messenger, was the surrounding Islamic? Was the environment Islamic? Is that Islamic? No. Only Prophet Muhammad is the messenger of Allah and a Muslim. One man. He did not run away. He did not just say, oh Allah, it's difficult, man. I'm the only guy. And you want me to talk to all these people who have been worshiping 360 God? But he never ran away. Keep on calling. Call his wife, Khadija. Khadija become Muslimah. Call his cousin, Ali. Ali become a Muslim. Call his best friend, Abu Bakr. Abu Bakr become... He never stopped da'wah. Until 23 years after that, whole Mecca, once upon a time was Jahiliyyah Mushrikeen, become Darul Islam. Allah, you don't run away. Islam do not teach the believer to run away. No. Until that, what the Prophet and Allah said, if you were not given the freedom to practice your religion, then you may have to plan for the hijrah. But once you are given, then there is no excuse for you to make hijrah. The hijrah that you need to do now is from a non-practicing Muslim to a practicing Muslim. That's the first hijrah. Yeah. From always stay away from the mosque, make a hijrah to the mosque. Don't run away from the mosque. Run towards the mosque. Can you do that? Can we do that, brother?
Yes.
Yeah, alhamdulillah. Just do that. Of course, we are here for a reason. And after you know that Islam is for all mankind, it's your duty to do da'wah. Yeah, it's your duty to do. Don't make hijrah anymore. Yeah. When Allah said you are here, there's a reason Allah wants you to be here. May Allah give us good reward, inshallah. Jazakallahu khair.
Barakallahu feek, Shaykh. And Jazakallahu khair, we have a question from the sisters. I believe this is from a not yet Muslim sister.
Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
Wa alaikum salam wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
I have a question. My name is Sumaya, but I have three questions from a non-Muslim sister who's... I pray that she...
Not yet Muslim sister.
Yeah, but I pray that she soon... that Allah soon shows her the way. She's got three questions. She was wondering about a Muslim man, if he can marry... what kind of woman he can marry. Can he marry only for a Muslim, a Jewish, or a Christian, or can he marry... anyone by with any religion. And the other question is she's asking what Islam says about a lady who's been married several times and has children with several men. What Islam says about a man, a Muslim man, if it's good to marry a woman like that or not. Yeah, I'm trying.
Should we let's just deal with those two?
Okay.
Yeah?
Yeah.
I think
the first one. No, the first one repeat.
I mean the second one was so confusing, to be honest. But the first one, just reiterate the first one. Just reiterate.
The first one, can a Muslim man marry Christian, Jew, anyone else with that?
Can a Muslim man marry a woman who are from the Ahli Kitab?
Yeah, yes. Or with other religions, not only Ahl al-Kitab.
Okay.
Yeah.
As Muslim, we believe in what Allah said. Allah said the Muslim man can marry with the people of the book. There is the Ahl al-Kitab, the Yahud and Nasara. You can marry with them, and they don't have to be a Muslim. according to the Quran, to the extent that the food prepared by the Ahli Kitab also is halal for the believers. And that's what Allah said. But only to the Ahli Kitab. For people who are not under the category of Ahli Kitab, the Muslim man cannot marry with them. Because Islamic marriage is not just a husband and wife thing, but is an institution. Yeah, it's a family institution. We want to bring a healthy family. We want to develop a harmony and loving family. To have a good family, you must make sure that both parties believe in the same God. Now, the people of the book are the people who believe in the same God. Because they have Kitab with them, Torah, they have Prophet with them, Moses, they have Kitab with them, Injil, and they have Jesus with them, and all of them are inviting their people to believe in the same God. And that's why we are allowed to get married with each other. Yes, you are allowed. As long as they are people of the book, but if they are not the people of the book, then the man, Muslim man, cannot marry with the lady until she decides to be a Muslim, to make sure that the family will have harmony and peace. Now, second one?
I think the second one is about a woman who has been married many times and has children. Can a Muslim man marry her? Correct? That was what I understood.
Is that correct, sister?
Is that correct? Can you just... Yes? Yes. Someone said yes.
Okay, sorry. The third question...
The second one.
She was wondering about what Islam advises a man to choose when it comes to a woman who has several children different parents, with different fathers.
The Prophet ﷺ is the best example. He married a lot of widows. And also women who was married before. The first wife of the Prophet, Khadijah, she was a widow. Not only a widow, she was married before, she got children, and there's no problem. There's no problem to the extent that at that time the Prophet was only 25 years old and Khadijah was
40
years. Even Khadijah is older than Prophet Muhammad, no problem. Can you imagine, sister? So there's no problem for a sister who is married and then she was divorced because Allah make things happen. And then now another man want to remarry with her is good. According to the Islamic teaching, the Muslim is being also recommended highly by the Prophet to marry a divorcee or a widow, to take care of the children. Because if they are widows, that means the children are yatim. So it's very important for you to take care of the orphans so that the orphans feel that they still have a father figure. So Islamically, it is highly recommended through the practice of Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Now this is different between the Jahiliyyah system. The Jahiliyyah system, if a woman become a widow or if she's been divorced by the husband, no man will want to marry her anymore. The community consider this woman useless. But Islam, no. Islam protect the right and the honor of this woman. That she is just like another woman. She have the right. She have the right to be honored. And the right to be remarried again. Yeah, it's allowed. Jazakallahu khair.
Mubarakallahu fik, Sheikh. There's also just a little clarification on the first. Somebody else. I think this is actually a big problem in Norway. From my understanding of the discussion with some brothers and sisters, this issue of marrying the people of the book, the Jews and the Christians. Does the term Ahli Kitab in modern day Norway, how do we clarify exactly what is Ahli Kitab, and is it now the same as it was during the time of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam?
Fellow brother and sister, when you talk about Ahli Kitab, there are different opinions about this. One group of scholars said Ahli Kitab only apply to the children of Israel. Because we all believe that Moses was sent to the lost sheep of Israel. Jesus was sent to the lost sheep of Israel. They are not prophet to other race, to other nation, except to their own people. Now, even Jesus have said that I was not sent except to the lost sheep of Israel. Now, these are prophet to a comb, to their own comb, not a prophet to every nation. How about the people of the book, like in China, back home, in China, you have a lot of Chinese who are Christian today. Do they consider themselves people of the book? Yes, they consider themselves as people of the book because they believe in Jesus, they believe in the Bible. But do you think Jesus will acknowledge them in the hereafter? What do you think, brother? Jesus cannot accept them because he was not sent for the Chinese. He will be surprised. When do you become my ummah? No, he will be surprised. You can claim anything you like. But Jesus was not sent for the Chinese. How can the Chinese become a Christian? But there are a lot of Chinese who are Christian today. If you go to India, you have a lot of Indian Christian too. Do you think Jesus will come and say, "Oh, my ummah, come here, oh, you Indian"? No. He will not recognize them because he was not sent for them. That's why in the time of Jesus, you don't see any followers of Jesus who are non-Israel. Only the Bani Israel. So they say that people of the book only refer to the Bani Israel. Of course, there's another group of scholars here, as long as they are people of the book. But it's against our belief again. Because we know that a prophet was sent to a particular nation, and Prophet Muhammad was sent to all mankind. Ya ayuhannas, kul ya ayuhannas, inni rasulullah ilaykum jami'ah. Allah said, "O Muhammad, tell the people that you are the messenger of Allah to all of them." But other than Prophet Muhammad, all the prophet never said that they were sent to everybody. No. They are sent to their own people. إِلَّا قَوْمِهِ وَإِذْ قَالَ عِيسَى بْنُ مَرْيَمْ لِلْبَنِي إِسْرَائِيلِ to Bani Israel. وَإِذْ قَالَ مُوسَى لِقَوْمِهِ when Moses will always say to his قوم, to his people. So if you ask me about this, I will say it. I'm in the opinion to say that the people of the book only apply to the Bani Israel. Wallahu a'lam bissawab. Jazakallahu khair.
Jazakallahu khair. I hope that answers that question. And we've got lots of other questions. Should we have that third part of the question from the sister first? The sister over there. In the meantime, just a quick one. It's about earrings.
And earrings.
Bracelets, earrings.
Okay.
Yeah. First of all, there's one question about can men wear earrings and golds, and can sisters wear earrings and bracelets and adornments and that sort of thing. So I think that...
Alhamdulillah, yeah. All this zina decoration is allowed majority for the woman because Allah made the woman with their nature. You can decorate yourself in a manner that Allah allowed you. But for the men, alhamdulillah, I see a lot of men in front of me. They don't have earring with them because they are men. They are real men. So if there's a man who hear one earring, that is half man. So the man should behave like a man. You know? And the Prophet did say that Allah will curse the man who want to be like a woman. The same thing goes to the woman who like to behave like a man, dress like a man. No, you're not supposed to do that. This earring belongs to them, to our sisters, not to you. Yeah? So if you want to poke anything, you poke other side. Don't poke here. It's very important. I really don't understand what's happening to the men today. No, I really don't understand. Sometimes they do things... Nauzubillah, even the jahiliyah don't do it. Even the pagan don't do it. No. Now shaitan also got shocked. No, the shaitan also was suddenly they see what is happening to these people.
You know? We know who is Shaitan, you know. But Shaitan don't do this thing, you know. Shaitan, they are very handsome men, you know. So may Allah guide us, brother. Please stay away from things that is not fit for us. Yeah? You know why the Prophet said, woman, you can wear gold, you can dress silk. Dress, why? Because silk is very fine. It's very soft material. The man know, the Prophet said, don't wear silk. Unless you have certain kind of skin disease that you are allergic with any other material except silk, then you can. You know when you wear something that is very soft and you walk also very soft like the silk. No, it confuses a lot of people behind you. No, it confuses the people. Is this a he or she? It's not good. No. Brother and sister, I have experience with that. You know, when I was in an office before, there are a group of kuntha. Yeah? A group of kuntha. They are male, but they just want to be like female. So they came to see us to have a dialogue. You know what is a dialogue about? A majority are Muslim. But when they enter my office, I was just looking. They look so beautiful. More beautiful than the lady. They make everybody confused again. Are they really the kuntha or they are real lady? But when they start to talk, then you know. Oh, okay, okay. You know what they asked me? They say, Sheikh, we just want some advice from you. I said, please. We want to know that when we pray, when we want to pray in the mosque, which staff should we join? Alhamdulillah, they still pray to Allah. They are better than the zakar who don't pray to Allah. Yeah, they are better than the men. So I look at them and say, have you any bad experience in the mosque? Yeah, because sometimes when we went to join the men's side, the men chase us away. He said, don't get close to me. With my wudu, we get invalid. So when they went to the group belonged to the Muslimah, the woman was screaming. He said, the man is with us. I said, for your situation, you better pray at home. Don't create confusion to anybody. You know, pray at home. Since you claim yourself as a Muslim, may Allah guide you. We hope one day you become either a man or a woman. Don't become between. Yeah? And then you know, in my country, you have area that after 12 midnight, you see these people coming out. Their business start at 12 midnight. And sometimes, you have these police will go there and raid them. Arrest them. But you know, these people, they love policemen. If this group of police has been sent to arrest these people, after that, they will take a ghusul. You know, they take a ghusul. They take a bath. They say, how can we arrest this kind of people? Because these people love to be arrested. They're not going to run from the police. When the police come and grab them, oh, my brother, my darling, he said, the police will push them away. You know, it's not easy to deal with this kind of people. So anyhow, yes, yeah, be a man or be a woman. And we have cases, people who came, one, according to the IC, according to their birth certificate, is a she. But now she wants to become a he. Because she's in love with a she. And then he came to the office and said, I want to marry she and she. How can you get married she and she? But I'm a he. What is your proof? Your name said you are a she. But you have another group of people you call Al-Kuntha Muskil. That means people who are born with two organs. And then they got to refer back to the specialist, and the doctor will analyze the whole situation, and they will finalize, yeah, what is going to happen to this whether it's a he or she, and they go through an operation. When they've gone through the operation, after they check the hormone and everything, then they'll decide. Now, if once upon a time is she, now he become he. And then when he decides it's he, we accept he as a he. Then they got to have a proof that the doctor, the specialist have confirmed that now she is a he now. Then we'll accept a he. Because we only accept he or she. We cannot accept he, she. Yeah? May Allah bless us now.
I mean,
we have a last one.
We've got a lot of questions. SubhanAllah. Most of them are off the topic, but they're sort of on the topic as well.
Alhamdulillah.
Next question is, I think it's going to be the last one. Many yet to be Muslims, people that maybe get very upset about a particular issue, which is the marriage between the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And Aisha radiallahu anhu. You know, narrating that, of course, that the marriage would have been consummated at a very young age. So I think maybe that would be good for non-Muslims to, or not yes Muslims, sorry, to understand the background to that.
Fellow brothers and sisters in Islam, and for people who are not yet Muslim, it's very sad. A lot of people have made a comment about the marriage of Prophet Muhammad to Aisha very negatively because they don't understand the whole issues. If you look back to the history of the marriage between Prophet Muhammad and Aisha radiallahu anha, Allahu Akbar, it's a very unique relationship, and there is nothing to do about sex here. Normally when people talk about this relationship, they talk about sex. How can a man like this, like a father figure to Aisha, get married with Aisha? The relationship between the Prophet and Aisha, Prophet with Abu Bakr, is very, very unique. And there's no sex involved yet in the early age, brothers and sisters. But to be very frank to all of us, as husband and wife, do we have complaints towards our husband, sister? Do you have any complaint about your husband? Be honest to me. Do you have any complaint with your husband? Yes. At least sometimes said, I have been warning you, I have been reminding you, but you never change. You are always the same person. Among us, husband and wife, there is always some complaint. Either you say it aloud or in silence. There's always some complaint. Either you tell him directly or you talk to your family, you talk to your best friend. Or the husband is a lie. You know something? Do you know that your husband is going somewhere? No. You thought that you are the only person who have some problem in communication, the communication with your husband. No, every wife seems to have the same problem. My husband also the same. But you never find in the history of Aisha she make any complaint about Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Never. It's a great nikmah. People don't understand. People who are trying to create this fitan is because they are jealous about the life of Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Even he's an elderly man, he married with this young girl, but most of the wives of the Prophet, they are widows. Only Aisha radiallahu anha. And never in the time of the Prophet when he was alive or after the Prophet depart, wafat, Aisha make any complaint, negative complaint towards her husband. Whatever she said, everything is good. To show us that there is no, I would say that there's nothing against her nature. She accepted the Prophet. You know, when the time when she got married, she didn't stay with the Prophet. She still stayed with the family, her own family. And just after marriage, she'll go and play with the friend. And to show us that the Prophet never do anything that is not right as a man. Until when she is prepared, then only the Prophet have a relationship with her. And that's also with her consent. It's not by force. Now that relationship is a very unique relationship. Only Allah and the believer understand. For those who don't understand, they will create a fitan to the Prophet ﷺ. May Allah protect the Prophet, protect Ameen. Us.
Ameen.
And may Allah make the people who want to know the truth to be fair and honest to the teaching of Islam and not to be biased and be unjust to the Ummah. Yeah, and may Allah guide us all. Wabillahi taufiq wa qridawana walhamdulillah bil alamin. Assalamu alaikum warahmatullahi wabarakatuh.